"Leave this," Isabel said from beside them where she'd been standing. She turned toward Celia, her cheeks red. "You were right to stop. I didn't want to do this either, but they..." She swallowed, the blush in her cheeks deepening. Dimple looked from Isabel to Celia. It had always been clear that Isabel wasn't completely on board with Evan and Hurry, but this open admission was more than Dimple had expected. Celia swiped at her eyes and nodded. "It's okay. I almost went along with it, too. I guess sometimes it's just hard to find that line and stick to it, even when something feels totally wrong to you." Isabel let out a breath. "Yeah, I'm sorry, Celia." Then, turning to Dimple, she said, "I'm sorry. For everything." And then she walked off to the dressing room without looking back at any of them.
"Get out of here right now," Max said, glaring around at them. "All of you, just go."
Rishi and Ashish walked toward Dimple and Celia.
"Let's go,"
Rishi said, his voice low and tight. And they did.
Rishi. The women set up a makeshift clinic in Dimple and Celia's room, with Rishi sitting on Dimple's bed and Ashish on Celia's. Rishi's nose wasn't bleeding anymore, but Dimple kept insisting he put an ice pack on it. She'd gotten one for each of them from the first aid kit at the front desk. Rishi wasn't even sure an ice pack was how you treated a bloody nose, but he was enjoying the attention too much to tell her. Across the tiny room, Ashish grinned at him. Celia was hovering near him, dabbing at his cut lip with a wet washcloth. She'd scrubbed her face free of the thick makeup, changed into shorts and a t-shirt, and pulled her voluminous hair back into a ponytail. She looked much more like herself, and Rishi was glad.
"Totally worth it," Ashish said.
Rishi laughed.
"Yup."
Celia groaned.
"No, it wasn't."
She dabbed at Ashish's lip with an increased vigor, pulling back when Ashish winced.
"Sorry, but seriously, you guys could have gotten really hurt. Fighting's never the answer. Hasn't anyone ever told you dorks that?"
Dimple sighed and took a seat next to Rishi.
"Even if those jerks totally did deserve it."
Celia bit her lip, balling the washcloth in one fist.
"Guys, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have gone off with them. I'm not even sure what I was trying to prove. They were terrible friends, not really friends at all. And I was just sacrificing everything I was to be a part of their group. I guess I wanted a high school do-over or something."
She shook her head and stepped toward Dimple, and, smiling, Dimple stood and wrapped her up in a big hug.
"You've been such a good friend to me,"
Celia said, her voice high and shaky.
"And you were right. I was uncomfortable, and I hated that whole thing, so I shouldn't have done it. Eh."
Dimple pulled back and tugged gently on Celia's ponytail.
"I'm proud of you for having the guts to just walk off the stage like that, right in the middle of the performance."
She grinned, a twinkle in her eye.
"Plus, you pretty much decimated their chances of winning, so, you know, thank you."
Celia laughed a watery laugh and pressed a finger to the corner of her eye.
"You're welcome."
She turned to Ashish next, and they looked at each other silently. There were so many unspoken words in the space between them that Rishi had to look away.
"Wanna go for a walk?" Ashish said softly.
"Please,"
Celia replied. And they walked off together, the door closing behind them. Dimple sighed into the silence.
"They make a cute couple."
She wrapped an arm around Rishi's waist and rested her head on his shoulder.
"Not as cute as you and me."
There was a smile in her voice.
"Obviously."
Rishi lay down on Dimple's pillow and pulled her against his chest.
"Take a nap with me?"
She snuggled in, her hair tickling his nose, flooding him with the scent of coconuts and jasmine.
"Okay,"
she said, yawning.
"We've earned it."
Dimple. The jangling of Dimple's phone woke them. Rishi sat up and rubbed his face. "Who is it?" I'm not sure. It was a number she didn't recognize. She cleared her throat and slid to answer. Hello?
Dimple, hi. This is Max, your instructor.
Oh, hi. She sat up straighter in bed and looked over at Celia and Ashish, who had obviously come back at some point during Rishi's and her nap, and were now lying together on Celia's bed. She grasped Rishi's hand, her eyes wide, her heart hammering in her chest. Max wouldn't kick her out, would he? She hadn't even been involved in the fight. Not directly.
I know you left early, and I wanted to tell you, in case you haven't heard already. You and Rishi won first place.
The words landed in the shells of her ears, but didn't really hit her brain. We... what now? There was a smile in his voice.
You guys won first place. Congratulations. You've got $1,000 to put toward the development of your app. It's a step in the right direction.
Oh, my God. She clapped a hand over her mouth, feeling like the smile was going to explode off her face. Ashish and Celia were making "Did you win?" faces across the room, and Rishi was staring at her. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And... you can tell Rishi. He isn't going to be kicked out. I'm willing to look the other way so long as this doesn't happen again.
Great. That's great. Her ribcage expanded as if she'd suddenly acquired the ability to hold more air. Thank you. Again.
You're welcome. Again. I expect great things from you guys now.
Dimple laughed, feeling like she might float off the bed. Got it. She hung up and looked around at her friends. We did it, she said softly. We won.
Another 3 weeks passed, way, way quicker than Dimple would have liked. She would have wanted another 1,000, give or take, to tinker with the wireframe prototype. Still, she knew it was more polished than she'd hoped it would be at this point, thanks to the talent show money. The designers had taken Rishi's sketches to the next level and made the whole thing come alive. And now it was time to let it go. The judges would be in to look at all the prototypes. There was nothing more to do. They were supposed to just go by the lecture hall later for the big announcement.
2 more hours, Dimple said, leaning back in her chair. They were at, you gotta be kidding, a sketchy little shop that had somehow become their favorite place to get dessert in the intensity of the last 3 weeks. Dimple had a giant bowl of cherry gelato she had exactly 2 bites of so far.
You really must be feeling sick, Rishi raised an eyebrow.
He was tucking into his second bowl of gelato like he hadn't eaten in 4 days. Celia giggled. They both looked at her, and she looked up from her phone and blushed when she saw they were watching her. Ashish, Dimple asked, waggling her eyebrows.
He just said the funniest thing about peanut butter gelato.
Celia trailed off when she saw the looks on their faces. Never mind. She put her phone down and sighed.
I'm so ready for this all to be over. 3 more days. So they really don't care that you've dropped out?
Rishi asked, licking his spoon.
No, Celia shrugged. I guess there really isn't anything they can do about it if I want to waste my money like that. I'm glad they're letting me stay in the dorms till after the last hurrah party.
The last hurrah party was their chance to celebrate and let off some steam after the intensity of the last 6 weeks. After that, it was goodbye, San Francisco. Dimple wondered if Rishi was dreading it as much as she was. They were pretty much avoiding talking about it.
Too bad they let Evan join Hurry and Isabel's team, though, Celia continued. I was sort of hoping they'd make him drop, too. Instead, they're combining their ideas or something. Whatever. Like they can do that in 3 weeks.
Well, I hope it sucks, Dimple said, more loudly than she'd intended. A few people around the small store looked up at her. Celia smiled gratefully at her.
Me too.
Rishi sat up suddenly. He looked pale and sweaty. Are you okay? Dimple asked, frowning, reaching over to put a hand on his arm. He pushed the chair back and ran to the bathroom. Dimple jumped up and followed him. When he came out, he looked like he'd been run over by a trolley. "Are you okay?" she asked, rushing up to him. He clutched his stomach and groaned. "I don't feel so good." "Oh, no, I wonder if the gelato was bad." Celia raced up to them.
"What's up? Everything okay?"
"Might be food poisoning," Dimple said, her arm around Rishi's waist. "I'm going to take him back to the dorm."
"Okay. I'm going to tell the 14-year-old behind the counter she might want to throw out her banana chocolate swirl," Celia said, gesturing at the kid in glitter lip gloss texting behind the counter. "I'll come up and check on you guys later. Just text me if you need anything in the meantime."
Rishi. Rishi was pretty sure he was going to die. His skin was cold and clammy. His stomach kept heaving even though there was nothing left in there to come up, and he was pretty sure he could see the veil of the afterlife lifting.
"I'm so sick," he whispered.
Dimple rolled her eyes. Actually rolled her eyes. The girl had no sympathy.
"You ate too much,"
she said, mopping his forehead with a wet paper towel she'd gotten from the dorm bathroom.
"Should have stopped at one bowl, like normal people."
"Food poisoning," Rishi managed, though just saying the words made him feel like he was going to throw up again.
"I'm not convinced."
Dimple straightened his pillow.
"I mean, all I know is you ate like 6 servings of the stuff, and Celia and I didn't feel sick."
"You guys barely ate anything," Rishi countered. "It wasn't enough to get sick on."
"Exactly,"
Dimple grinned, victorious.
"It's your own fault."
Rishi groaned. "Meanie," he whimpered.
"You're such a baby."
But Dimple caressed his cheek with a fingertip, smiling.
"What can I do for you, oh ye voracious appetites?"
Rishi looked at her, an eyebrow raised, smiling in what he hoped was a dashingly lascivious manner. She swatted his chest lightly.
"Not that."
"You said I have a voracious appetite," he said, laughing, and then groaned again when his stomach spasmed.
"Okay, no more laughing," Dimple said. "I mean, I love you and all, but if you barf in here, I am not cleaning it up."
She was smiling, but Rishi could tell by the way her hands were fidgeting with the wet paper towel that she was worked up. "How are you doing?" he asked, lying on his side to see her face more easily. Dimple sighed and hung her head.
"Ugh, not well. I'm so not good at waiting for things."
Rishi wheezed a laugh, careful not to upset his sore stomach.
"No way.
You strike me as such an easygoing person." Dimple glared at him.
"I am easygoing,"
she snapped in the least easygoing way possible, and then they both laughed.
"Okay, so I guess you're right. But this time things feel even more fraught than usual. It's just so important to me, you know? Jenny Lind. Changing people's lives. All of it."
Rishi sat up, ignoring the lurching of stomach acid and the slow roll of the wave of nausea washing over him, and grabbed her wrists. "You are going to do it. Change lives. Jenny Lind would be lucky to meet you, Dimple. You're amazing." She laughed and rolled her eyes, and he wished he could make her see it. The way he saw her. The dazzling beauty that was her glittering soul. Dimple stood.
"Okay. I'm going to get some more paper towels and another bottle of water from the good vending machine at the end of the hall."
She pointed at him mock sternly.
"No throwing up while I'm gone."
Rishi lay back, groaning. Scout's honor.
Chapter 52. Dimple. Dimple was attempting to balance 2 water bottles and a pile of dripping paper towels when Celia ran up to her and took a few things.
"Thanks. I really should have planned that better."
"Ah, well," Celia said. "How is he?"
They began to walk back down the hallway toward Rishi's room.
"Better, I think. These paper towels seem to help with his nausea."
"Ministering to his fevered brow. How romantic," Celia said, laughing.
"Shut up,"
Dimple replied. It's just so he wouldn't puke on me.
Yeah, right. I expect you to be making soup from scratch next. With organic vegetables you grew in your garden out in the country.
Celia flashed a mischievous grin at Dimple.
If you don't watch out, he's going to turn you totally domestic.
Domestic. The word echoed in Dimple's head. Was Celia right? She was turning domestic, wasn't she? She was becoming everything she'd said she didn't want to be. She had a boyfriend, a pretty serious one, going into freshman year. Everything the voice had said that night in Rios, it was all true, wasn't it? And God, she was so traditional, so trustworthy and practical and stable. He was a savings account. Dimple was 18. She didn't need a savings account. She needed adventure and spontaneity and travel. She needed to make a few bad decisions and have a few boys break her heart. Wasn't that what she was after? Living life on her terms? So how had she gotten mired in the same pit of domesticity as her parents? Dimple pushed open Rishi's door, feeling hot and cold, the paper towels like wet lead in her hands. When she looked at Rishi, her heart didn't bloom like it usually did. Suddenly she wasn't sure what she felt, what she was supposed to feel. She wasn't sure of anything anymore. But Rishi didn't seem to notice her inner war. He was sitting up in bed, his phone in his hands.
"Just got a text," he said, looking up at her. "The judges are done. They've picked the winner of Insomniacon."
Celia gasped as Dimple rushed to her phone. She'd left it on Rishi's nightstand. Max's text simply said, "Announcement time." Everyone sat in their usual places, even though there really wasn't any reason to anymore. Except for Celia. She was waiting in their room with Ashish, who was finally finished with the campus tour some guy in the basketball team had given him. Dimple found a comfort in her old seat, her arm pressed up against Rishi's, everything like it had been for the last 6 weeks. For the moment, she forgot all the thoughts that had been tumbling through her head back in the dorm. The judges had come to a decision early. What did that mean? Something good? Something terrible? She'd never heard of this happening before. There was a preternatural hush all around the room. Even the Aberzombies in the back were uncharacteristically quiet. It felt like the walls were holding their breath, like they'd inhaled, but hadn't exhaled yet. Dimple felt the pressure on the top of her head and along her spine. Rishi squeezed her hand, his own cool and dry. He looked like he was feeling better, though he still clutched his water bottle in his other hand. "Where is Max? And the judges?" she mumbled, more to herself than anything, her leg jittering up and down. "Shouldn't they be here by now?" As if he'd just been waiting for her to ask, Max walked on stage. He dressed in a sports jacket for the occasion, his hair somewhat neatly combed. He was followed by a man and a woman who looked to be in their mid-60s, fragile and bird-like in their movements. The woman wore huge diamonds at her neck and ears. They blinked and flashed even from this distance. And the man wore boat shoes and cufflinks that winked under the recessed lighting. Dimple wondered if they were related, or just came from the same factory that manufactured indecently rich people. Max stepped behind the podium.
"Thank you all for coming so quickly. I know this is earlier than we'd said, but the judges both agreed on the winners so quickly. Before we go into it, I'd like to take the time to both introduce and thank them."
He half-turned and smiled at the couple. The woman was Anita Perkins, and the man was Leonard Williams, and they both had fancy pedigrees and degrees and obviously tons of connections everywhere. That was about the gist of what Dimple got. She felt her fingers squeezing Rishi's tighter and tighter as Max kept talking, until finally he leaned toward her and whispered, "That's my drawing hand, you know." So she let go and forced herself to take a few deep breaths.
"And now, the moment you've all been waiting for..."
Max paused dramatically.
"I'm going to let Leonard and Anita do the honors." There was groaning from around the lecture hall, and Max laughed as he stepped back and Anita took his spot.
This was a very hard decision to make, she said in a slightly quavering voice. Dimple wondered if she was nervous and why. It was the students who had the most to lose or gain. As you all know, this year's prize includes a chance to work with Jenny Lint, one of our talented past winners, which makes it even more exciting. It sounded like she was reading from a prefabricated script, a bad one. This year's prototypes were all top-notch. However, only one winner can emerge, and this year, Leonard and I have had the great honor of bestowing that title upon Harry Maida, Evan Grant, and Isabel Ryland for their prototype, Drunk Zombies. There was thunderous applause. Or Dimple's ears were roaring. Rishi was saying something to her, but she didn't hear. She saw the male Aberzombies lurching down the aisles, ironically zombie-like, to collect their trophy. Isabel glanced at Dimple and Rishi as she walked silently by. Her eyes were dark and hooded, her mouth unsmiling. She shook her head slightly to apologize? To say she thought this was total BS? Dimple didn't know. She found herself standing, and on legs that felt weirdly like rubber mallets, transporting herself up the other aisle and out the doors. It was quieter in the hallway. Dimple sank onto a bench a dozen feet away by the water fountain. "It's over," she made herself say. She forced herself to really hear the words. "You tried, but you didn't win. It's over." But some small part of her insisted on asking why she hadn't won. Why did she find herself here now? After all the passion, all the hard work she'd put in. Was it Rishi? Had he somehow diffused her energy? The energy that was meant to go into this project? Had she had so much passion, so much energy for him, that she'd sidelined the main thing in her life, the one thing she wanted more than anything else? Had she done exactly what she'd been afraid she was going to do and let herself get distracted by a boy? Her chest was tight with remorse. Her mouth was full of a chalky, bitter regret. "Domestic," she heard Celia say. "Domestic." Dimple heard the lecture hall doors open and footsteps come toward her. She felt Rishi before she saw him. He sat next to her. "That's total crap," he said, his voice low but furious. "They only won because of who Hurry's parents are." "You don't know that," Dimple said, staring straight ahead. She would not cry. She would not cry. She tried to put a lid on her simmering resentment. Sure, it was easy for Rishi to blame Hurry, but what about him? What about the fact that right at the beginning she told him that she didn't want him there? Why didn't he even question what part he might have played in it, what part their relationship might have played? "Drunk zombies? I mean, come on." He pushed an agitated hand through his hair. Dimple bit her lip and forced herself to say the next part. "Their app's going in front of Jenny Lint. Maybe she'll love it." "Unless Jenny Lint is secretly a frat boy, I seriously doubt it. They're going to flop. This thing isn't going to go any further." Rishi turned to look at Dimple, his hand at her elbow. "Hey, look at me." She did. "This doesn't take away from how amazing your idea is. We have to continue to try to get it out there, okay? We aren't going to stop here." Dimple wanted to believe him. She wanted to accept what he was offering her. Hope. But she knew she couldn't. She blinked and looked away. "Yeah, maybe. I think," Dimple stood. "I'm going back to my room." "Okay." Rishi stood and began to walk to the exit. "Let's binge-watch something on Netflix. And we're totally skipping that stupid last hurrah party tomorrow, too, by the way." He stopped and looked back at her when he realized she wasn't walking with him. I want to be by myself," Dimple said, not quite able to look him in the eye. "Please." "Oh." The hurt flashed just for the briefest moment across his face, but was replaced by understanding and concern. Sure. Text me later? She nodded and walked quickly to the door, her eyes filling fast. Nothing was going right. The world was falling to pieces. Chapter 53. Dimple. Dimple sat in her room staring at the wall. It was too much effort to even look outside. 24 hours after she'd heard the news, she'd lost the Aberzombies. Everything was still a mess. What the heck had she been thinking? Wasting Mama and Papa's money, coming out here on basically a whim and a wish to meet Jenny Lint. She felt utterly stupid. Like a dumb kid who thinks she actually has a chance at turning her home into a gingerbread house. Something Dimple actually used to aspire to do when she was little. She thought it was simply a matter of growing up and gaining the skills. She gripped her cell phone in her hand. Mama and Papa had already called 3 times just today to find out the results. In the 3rd voicemail, Papa had simply said, "It's okay, Bitty. Just phone us." So obviously, they'd guessed. The understanding and kindness in Papa's voice was too much. Dimple didn't know if she could talk to him stoically without bursting into tears. The worst part was that she was letting Papa down. He would have really benefited from this. Her phone rang again. Home, the display said, which meant it was Papa and Mama's landline. Dimple took a hitching breath and answered, "Hello?" Ugh, her voice sounded all watery, even to her own ears. "Dimple?" It was Papa, sounding concerned and fatherly and soft and all the things that made her want to cry even more. Her throat hurt with the effort of holding it in. "Que si ho, Bertie?" "My idea didn't win," she sort of whispered, just wanting to get it out of the way. A tear dribbled down her cheek, and she brushed it away with a fist. "Oh, Berta, these things happen, hmm?" She shook her head, more tears falling, her face screwed up with the effort of trying not to cry. "I'm sorry, Papa," she said finally, her voice breaking.
"Sorry? Kis liye? For what?"
"I let you down. I asked Mama and you for the money, and then I totally just blew it. I don't even know what I did wrong, so I can't fix it. They didn't give us any feedback. And this was all such a bad idea, all of it."
Dimple dissolved into sobs, her glasses fogging over, snot leaking from her nose.
"Dimple," Papa said, his voice quiet and firm, "this was not a bad idea. It was a great idea. You went there, and you did what you are passionate about. Don't be sorry. Be proud, like I am."
Dimple sniffled.
"You're proud? You don't think this was all a colossal failure?"
"No, no, no. Absolutely not."
She heard the smile in Papa's voice, and it made her smile, too. "Ab tum ghar kab aa rahi ho?" "I'll drive home tomorrow morning. I told Mama." She frowned. "Where is she, by the way?" She would have expected Mama to wrench the phone from Papa and deliver unneeded advice. She'd probably have told Dimple to pack it in and get married, to take this as a sign from the gods. The gods. She was starting to sound like a rishi. Dimple closed her eyes at the thought of him, the thought of the decision she had to make that she didn't want to. "Oh, she went to Seema and Ritu's house to watch Mahabharata, but actually I think she wanted to see Ritu's new curtains. She was telling me Seema hates them, but Ritu forced her to buy them anyway." Dimple rolled her eyes and tried not to laugh.
"Great. Well, I guess I'll be hearing all about that soon enough."
She hung up and sat in the silence again, the temporary lightness she'd felt from the conversation already receding. Papa could say he wasn't disappointed. It didn't matter. Dimple was disappointed with herself. And she was mad. She set her phone down so she wouldn't be tempted to fling it across the room. The shock of losing to those idiots, had tempered her rage yesterday, but it was back now, full force.
It was so unfair. Hari, Evan, and Isabel had not deserved to win.
Yesterday, Celia had told Dimple her theory, that the founders of InsomniaCon had been in Hari's dad's pocket from the beginning. Apparently, Hari knew them all by their first names. They'd all been to his house for dinner just a few months before the contest began. It made sense. Dimple remembered hearing Evan say at the talent show that Hari's parents had donated the new computer science wing. They hadn't gotten kicked out for fighting. And, the most telling of all, they'd won InsomniaCon with their stupid frat boy drinking game idea. Dimple's app would have changed lives. Well, their app might too, she thought wryly. Getting rushed to the hospital in the back of an ambulance for alcohol poisoning was life-changing, right? Her phone beeped with a text and she peeked at the screen. Pick you up for brunch in 30 minutes? Rishi. Dimple hung her head, guilt and resentment jostling for space in her chest. Something had changed. Ever since Celia had made that comment yesterday. But no, it had started before that. Things were fine when she and Rishi were just dating, when there were no boxes around their relationship. But the moment he'd asked for a commitment to try and make this work long distance, something had shifted. And now she'd lost InsomniaCon. There was no doubt about it. If they hadn't been going out, she would have spent almost all of her free time working on her prototype, tweaking it, making it better, and maybe one of those tweaks would have sent her over the edge. Maybe she would have been so good that they couldn't have ignored her, not even for Hari. She picked up the phone and keyed in, no, have a headache, napping instead. Exclamation point. But Jenny Lint will be in at noon. You could talk to her. Jenny Lint would be at the Spurlock building speaking with Hari et al. About their stupid winning idea. Dimple had no desire to meet her now, rank with defeat. Seeing the Aberzombies gloat would likely send her sailing off the edge. And she didn't want murder on her conscience. Nah, think I'll skip. Talk to you later. She hadn't spoken to Rishi face-to-face since the results yesterday. He'd been good about giving her space. But she knew. He was probably starting to wonder. Guilt clutched at her as she thought of his open, honest brown eyes, his sweet, goofy smile, his hands on her waist. The truth was, maybe they'd come to the end of their path together. Maybe it was time to say goodbye.
Rishi. Rishi watched Celia inhale another donut. Ashish reached across her and pulled a cruller onto his plate. How could they eat like that? Rishi's own stomach felt like kishmish, a dry, desiccated, shriveled raisin. They were at the cafeteria, as were pretty much all of the InsomniaCon participants, eating brunch before Hari, Evan, and Isabel's meeting with Jenny Lind. Afterward, other people who wanted to speak with her could have a few minutes, too. Rishi had been looking forward to it for Dimple, but now he wasn't so sure. He patted a USB stick in his pocket, wondering if what he had planned was a good idea after all. "Are you sure she's just depressed about losing?" he asked for the 18th time. Celia wiped pink icing off the corner of her mouth with a napkin, and Ashish's eyebrows knit together sympathetically. This was something he could get used to, a brother who actually felt something for him other than dismissive exasperation. Celia put a hand on his.
"I really think so," she said. "She's barely said a word to me, and I live with her. She's taking it hard, but she'll bounce back. You know how she is. This isn't going to hold her back."
From the far end of the cafeteria, they heard a whoop and then guffaws of laughter as Huddy got on the cafeteria table, stripped off his shirt, and twirled it around. Evan clapped and cheered him on. Isabel was nowhere to be seen.
"Idiots," Celia muttered. "I can't believe they won."
"Me either." Ashish reached out and squeezed her hand. After a moment, he turned to Rishi. "Bhaiya, I feel like Dimple and I are pretty similar in some ways. So just give her some time. I think she probably needs to lick her wounds for a bit before she gets back up. Rishi nodded and took a sip of his tea. He could do that. And in the meantime, he'd move forward with his plan.
Chapter 54. Dimple. There was an almighty bang as the door opened. Dimple groaned under the covers. A moment later, she felt the bed shift as someone sat down. Dimple? Celia's voice behind her was soft but firm.
It's time for you to get up now. We're all worried.
She opened her eyes a touch. It was gloomy in the room, either dusk or dawn.
What time is it?
She asked, her voice just a croak.
7 p.m. How long have you been napping? You missed lunch.
Dimple turned over. Celia looked down at her, her hazel eyes worried. Her hair was held back by a cloth headband with sequins sewn in.
A couple of hours.
Celia smoothed a curl off Dimple's forehead, her face full of compassion. Dimple swallowed, so she wouldn't tear up. Taking a deep breath, Celia sat up straighter.
All right, it's time to get up and get dressed. We're going out.
Dimple frowned. The thought of getting out of her warm, quiet room and into the buzzing, chaotic world sounded about as appealing as going salwar shopping with Mama.
Why? Where?
Celia cocked her head.
Why? Because you've become incapable of responding to my questions in more than little nubs of sentences. And where? To the last hurrah party.
Dimple groaned and burrowed back into the covers.
No.
There was silence for a moment, and she thought Celia was mad. But then her friend spoke in a quieter voice.
Is this about having lost Insomnia Con? Or something else?
Dimple's heart began to thud.
Like what? She said after a pause, her eyes wide under the covers in the dark.
I've noticed you haven't been speaking to Rishi.
Or about him.
He's noticed too, you know. She said it without judgment, but Dimple's chest constricted with that familiar guilt.
Has he... What has he said?
He just wants to know what's going on.
He's such a good guy, Dimple. He really cares about you.
No, scratch that. He really loves you. Dimple took the covers off her face and looked at Celia.
I know he does. And it was true, she did. The thing was just... She'd met him too early in her life. That was the cruelest of things. It wasn't that Rishi was wrong for her. It was that he was too right.
Celia looked at her for a long moment and then nodded.
If you're going to break his heart, do it now. Don't stretch it out. It's not fair to him.
Dimple sighed.
I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Although that wasn't quite true. She was pretty sure. She just didn't have the courage and energy to admit it to herself yet.
Celia stood.
Well, I do, she said. You're coming to the party with us. She shrugged when Dimple made a face.
You may as well face him. Maybe it'll help you make up your mind. Move on from this weird limbo you're in.
Rishi. Rishi hung up the phone and paced the floor, his heart jittering in his chest. He ran a hand through his hair and grinned. Oh my gods! Ashish looked up from where he was reading one of Rishi's old issues of Platinum Panic. What? Do you know who that was? Rishi felt like his face was going to split in two. He was grinning so hard. Ashish put the comic down and sat up slowly. No. Who?
Dimple. Dimple walked into the main lobby of the Spurlock building with Celia. It had been decorated for the last hurrah with balloons and confetti, and a local restaurant was even catering a big buffet. People were already lining up for the free food, piling their plates high. No one seemed especially sad to have lost, except maybe Jose Alvarez. He sat with his partner, Tim Wheaton, both of their shoulders hunched, their faces slack and lifeless. Dimple felt a twinge of sympathy. If the pain weren't so raw, she'd go over there to commiserate. She scanned the room, her stomach lurching. Where was Rishi? He'd texted her to meet up with him here, which actually worked out well. It would be like a band-aid, she thought. Just rip it off. Where is he? She asked Celia, tapping her sweaty hand against her thigh. She hadn't explicitly told Celia what she was going to do, but she thought maybe her friend had guessed. How could she not? Dimple shut down every time Celia said Rishi's name. It was easier that way, less painful. Then she saw them, Ashish and Rishi, pushing through the clusters of students. There was a barely suppressed, excited energy about them as they walked, both of them bounding on the balls of their feet. Ashish's eyes were on Celia, though they kept darting to Dimple. Rishi looked straight at her. Her stomach lurched again. Dimple felt another major prickle of misgivings. Was she really going to do this? When just looking at him made her feel like this? This rush of love and companionship and friendship and happiness? Was she just going to extinguish it all because of timing? But she knew the answer. Yes, she would. Yes, because this was not the plan. Yes, because the last thing she wanted was to break it off 5 years down the road, when the two of them would be in so much deeper. It'd be like cutting off a limb. It would be painful now, but nothing compared to what it could be like. So the answer was yes. Ashish pulled Celia close and kissed her, and Rishi stood in front of Dimple. Somehow, he instinctively knew not to pull her into his arms. Had he guessed? She took a deep breath and said, "I have to talk to you," at the same time that he said, "Come with me." They both paused, and then Dimple said, "Where?" Rishi's eyes were shining as he reached out and took her hand. "You'll see, my friend," he said, as he began to tug her toward the hallway that contained their lecture hall.
Rishi. Rishi could barely keep himself from sprinting through the crowd of InsomniaCon students to the hallway and the lecture hall. He knew now why people said love gave you wings. All he could think was how Dimple was going to feel in a few minutes. She was so beautiful and so brave. Just coming here to the last hurrah party was an act of courage. He knew how much this had meant to her, how crushed she was, though she was trying not to show it. It was there, in the lines around her mouth, in the furrow in her brow. Even her usually buoyant curls looked a little wilted. He put his hand on the handle of the door to the lecture hall and turned around to glance at her. She looked thoroughly confused. His heart lifted, and he grinned. "Ha! Ha ha ha! This was going to be epic! Ready?" Dimple nodded, and Rishi pushed the door open.
Dimple. Dimple walked in wondering what the heck Rishi Patel was up to now. If this was some kind of pity party he'd arranged for her, she really wasn't in the mood. And anyway, she really wanted to just get it over with. Tell him what she'd decided and go home. But the way he'd basically just run here, she'd let her curiosity get the best of her. She walked into the quiet, empty lecture hall and looked around. What? Why are we... And then Dimple saw her. Up at the head of the room, sitting there in the front row like a student, turned around and smiling slightly. Jenny Lint. Dimple's mouth legit hung open. Her knees felt weak, like they might buckle at any moment. Jenny Lint raised a hand. "Hi, Dimple." Dimple nearly fell over. She would have, if Rishi hadn't grabbed her elbow and very firmly steered her forward. "Go," he said softly in her ear. "You deserve it." And then he slipped out, leaving her with her idol. Dimple walked forward on wooden legs. It was her. It was really her. with her teal mermaid hair in an angled bob, her quirky retro clothes. Right then, she was wearing a blue polka-dotted circle skirt, a shirt with a Peter Pan collar, and jeweled cat's-eye glasses, and her incisive gaze. Her brown eyes looked like they could cut right through you. "Hi," she said again when Dimple was within talking distance. "Have a seat." She gestured to the chair next to hers, and Dimple sat, aware that her every muscle seemed to be vibrating.
"This is..."
Her voice came out a husky whisper, and she cleared her throat and tried again.
"I don't even know why... or how..."
Dimple made a vague circling gesture with her hands like that would make what she was trying to say clearer.
Gods! Why had she saved her inarticulate seal act for now, when she was face-to-face with Jenny freaking Lint?
Idiot. But Jenny's smile just got wider, like she was used to this reaction. She probably was, come to think of it. "Your friend." She gestured at the door to the back of the hall. "Boyfriend? Anyway, he came to see me when I was here earlier, meeting with the winners of Insomniacon." The words were like an ice water bath. The winners of Insomniacon. That should have been her. Then what Jenny Lint had just said came seeping in. "Wait, Rishi came to see you?"
"Yeah. Waited in line about an hour, so he could catch me after everyone else had melted away."
Jenny raised her eyebrows.
"That's some serious dedication."
"But why? What did he say?"
Jenny reached into her pocket and held up a little USB stick.
"He showed me all the work you put into the talent show. There was even a part where you were talking about how important your app was to you and why you wanted me to see it. He attached your wireframe prototype, too."
She shook her head.
"It's a solid idea. You're very good."
Dimple's breath caught in her throat. She'd waited years, years to hear that. All those times she'd considered giving up but hadn't, because maybe one day Jenny Lint might tell her she had what it took. That day was here. Dimple blinked hard and tried to ignore the goosebumps that ravaged her arms and legs.
Wow, I can't believe this is happening."
Jenny laughed, a throaty, sophisticated sound.
"Well, you should. You're the real thing, not like those idiots I met with before."
"Drunk zombies," she snorted. "What a joke." Dimple felt a gleeful grin spread across her face.
"But they won Insomniacon."
Jenny's chair let out a plaintive squeak as she leaned back, steepling her fingers in front of her, serious now.
"Yeah," she said, looking right at Dimple. "And I'm going to have a talk with the organizers about conflicts of interest. If your parents donated the new computer science wing..."
She shook her head. "You shouldn't even be allowed to participate." She fixed Dimple with a serious look.
"I wish I could say stuff like that's a one-off, but it's not. You're going to see a lot of it. People getting ahead unfairly because of the category into which they were born. Male or white or straight or rich. I'm in a few of those categories myself, which is why I make it a point to reach out and help those who aren't. Those who might not necessarily be seen if I didn't make the effort. We need to shake this field up, you know? We need more people with different points of view and experiences and thought processes so we can keep innovating and moving ahead."
Jenny Lint smiled a little.
"Which is why I want to talk to you about partnering together to get your app market ready. What do you say?"
Dimple was fairly sure she was going to burst into tears. She counted to three, took a breath, and said, "Yes, please."
Chapter 55. Rishi. Rishi paced outside, feeling like someone waiting on life-changing news from the doctor. Dimple had looked so utterly discombobulated, he hoped he'd done the right thing by surprising her. He'd figured with how depressed she was, she might argue against meeting with Jenny Lind, that she wasn't ready or didn't feel up to it. He'd wanted her to just do it, to see how impressed Jenny had been by her. The woman had called Rishi personally to say she'd been totally bowled over by both the video and the code. Rishi felt a glow of pride at the memory. He'd spent almost the entirety of last night glued to his computer, editing the videos Ashish had taken of them practicing, and then splicing them together to create a 5-minute montage to share with Jenny Lind. The idea had come to him after Dimple had gone to her room. If only Jenny could see how much time and effort she's put into this, how good she really is, he'd thought. And then Rishi had realized he could make that happen for her. Ashish had helped him for the first hour or so, and then he'd gone to bed. But before he had, he'd looked at Rishi and said,
"Man, Bhaiya, you've got it bad, huh?"
Rishi took a deep, shuddering breath. Yes, he did. He'd paced to the opposite end of the long hallway when the door to the lecture hall opened with a great bang. He spun around and found Dimple striding toward him, practically running, her hair streaming behind her. He walked forward to meet her, and she slammed into him, wrapping her arms around his neck. He held her tight, feeling her heart pound against his chest, hearing her breathing rapidly, furiously. He was beginning to worry that the meeting had gone really, really badly when she pulled back, her eyes wet, a small smile playing at her lips.
"Thank you,"
she whispered. All the breath exited his lungs in a great whoosh. He grinned.
"So it went well?"
Dimple stepped back, out of his arms, and folded her arms against herself, unsmiling now. Rishi frowned a little. Something was off. She should be cheering, running madly around, but she wasn't. His smile faded.
"Let's talk outside,"
she said, gesturing to the side door behind him, beyond which lay the darkness of night. They stepped outside just as a silver Porsche went flying by, honking its horn. Dimple raised a hand, and he saw genuine joy in her eyes, and pride. So the meeting had gone well. Rishi held his questions as they walked a few yards to a small patio area swathed in mist and sat on one of the damp benches. Light from the interior of the building lit the ground and table in fat yellow stripes. He looked at Dimple, across from him, and waited. She pulled her hoodie sleeves over the tips of her fingers, still not meeting his eye. Something began to squirm in the pit of his stomach. The pocky sticks he'd inhaled earlier in his room threatened to make a comeback. Something was wrong. Very wrong. He reached for her hand across the table, and she jerked back. His heart froze, encased in a block of ice. Dimple looked up at him then.
"Thank you,"
she said quietly.
"That was an incredible gift. Making the video, contacting her, all of it."
Rishi nodded, though everything seemed to be happening from a great distance, like he was viewing his own life through a telescope. "You deserve it."
"She wants to partner with me to finish and market the apps, so..."
She smiled and bit her lip, as if to contain it. He grinned.
"That's great. I knew it. How could she have any other reaction?"
"I have a confession,"
Dimple said in a rush. Rishi's heart thundered. "What sort of confession?"
"I..."
She pulled the hood of her hoodie up, as if to ward off the fog.
"I did something similar for you. Or, I tried to."
He frowned, not understanding. Dimple scratched at the paint on the wood table with a fingernail, sending green flecks flying.
"I sent your sketches to Leo Tilden."
Rishi stared at her, not fully able to grasp her meaning.
"Sent him my sketches?"
He shook his head, like that would make this congeal a bit more.
"How? When?"
"The day Ashish came. You stepped out of your room to talk to him, and I took pictures of your sketchpad, and then I emailed him."
She met his eye, looking equal parts defensive and nervous, disappointed and defiant.
He hasn't emailed you yet, I'm guessing. But he will. I know he will."
Rishi shook his head, trying to dislodge his feelings. Anger at her. Disappointment at the silence from Leo Tilden. Embarrassment. Betrayal. He set his elbows on the table and put his head in his hands.
Why? How could you do that?
He said softly, afraid that if he raised his voice, he'd never stop shouting.
After I told you. After I explained why I couldn't do this.
Because,
Dimple said, and her voice did echo around them before getting swallowed by the unforgiving fog.
Because you're being...
Rishi looked up sharply. Being what?
Cowardly,
she finished, her chin thrust out.
You're being cowardly. You have a real gift, Rishi. You can't let your parents or anyone else dictate what you do with it.
Rishi swallowed, willing his heart to stop pounding, his blood to stop boiling.
Cowardly.
Right. He jumped up and began to pace, running a shaking hand through his hair. He didn't know if he was more hurt or more angry.
And I guess talking to you about obligations and duties would do no good, just as it did no good the first few times.
He stopped pacing and glared at her.
Speaking of cowardly, you sneaked into my bag and pulled out my sketch pad. You emailed Leo without my permission. How's that for cowardly?
I was doing you a favor,
she said, her hands forming fists on the table.
A favor,
he thundered, throwing his hands up.
Do you know how condescending you sound right now? So you were just doing the cowardly idiot who doesn't know what's good for him a favor, right?
That's not what I said.
Dimple glared at him, eyes sparking behind her glasses.
How is what you did for me with Jenny Lind any different?
Because you've been telling me for 6 weeks now how much she means to you and how much you want to meet her. Because you came out to InsomniaCon specifically to have her see your work. That's the difference. You wanted this, and I didn't. I specifically told you I didn't.
And I specifically told you I didn't want a relationship. I don't want this,
Dimple yelled, her voice crashing into him, reaching into his chest, and pulverizing his heart.
Dimple. She sat there, panting, unable to believe she'd just yelled it out at him like that. I'm sorry, she said immediately, her voice shaking. I'm sorry, but I... this isn't working for me anymore. Rishi stared at her, like she'd just told him a giant meteor was headed for the Earth, and there was nothing to be done about it. He walked forward on shaky legs and fell onto the bench. He stared down at his hands and then looked up at her. How long have you known you wanted to break up? The fog curled around his words. I didn't know, Dimple said. I mean, I was having all these doubts weeks ago. But... she took a deep breath. I wasn't really sure until a couple of days ago, when they announced the winners. Rishi was quiet for a long time. Then he said, why? She thought about telling him the truth for a split second, how he was too right for her, how she was afraid they'd just met too early, how she was terrified she was giving up an essential part of herself, or forgetting the reasons she hadn't wanted a relationship in the first place. But Dimple knew he'd talk her down, that he'd have a good counter-argument for every one of hers. She'd end up wanting to be with Rishi again, and she didn't want that. A clean break, that's what she was after. We're too different, she said finally, choosing a half-truth. I can't. I can't be with someone who cares so much about what his parents want from him. You lack courage, Rishi. And I can't be with someone like that. She was being so cruel. But she couldn't pull any punches. I want so much more from my life than what you seem to want. He looked at her, his eyes hollow, empty, like she'd never seen them before. Her heart hurt, physically, truly hurt, but she forced herself to keep her expression firm, unmoving, as he spoke. I've changed so much for you. I know it doesn't seem like it, but I have.
I just wanted to be with you, Dimple. I was even willing to put aside my parents' wishes. I was willing to follow you around the world,